hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Major League Baseball's 113th World Series begins later Tuesday night in Los Angeles, California. That's where the Los Angeles Dodgers will host the Houston Astros in Game 1 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. Joining us now for a preview is sports reporter Dan Friedel. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Sonny. It's good to be here. We've got the last part of the baseball season to come, and it looks like it should be an exciting one.
Dan, definitely some baseball fever in the cities of Los Angeles and Houston, and baseball fever in terms of the weather. Temperatures near 100 degrees Fahrenheit are forecast for Game 1 in Los Angeles on this Tuesday evening. Dan, will the heat affect the quality of baseball?
I can't imagine that it will. Certainly, the fact that the game is starting a little bit early on the West Coast, the sun will still be up for probably about an hour and a half while the game is going on. That could make it a little bit warmer than usual for late October in Los Angeles, but both of these teams are from warm weather cities. They haven't been playing in cold weather at this point. It's not like we're talking about the difference between a 40-degree game in New York City last week and a 100-degree game. The fall in general in the Northern Hemisphere, in the United States in particular this year, has been extremely warm. I mean, certainly World Series in the past in cities like Cleveland and Boston and Chicago have had really cold weather games, but it doesn't look like we're going to experience that, considering we've got a team that plays in an indoor stadium most of the time in Houston and a team that plays in the city that's so well known for sunny weather in Los Angeles. So it should be a good series all the way through weather-wise without, you know, a player slipping on the field due to a rain shower earlier in the game.
Dan, can you tell our Voice of America listeners about the Game 1 pitching matchup?
Well, this game features two of the best pitchers in baseball over the recent years. You have both pitchers, Dallas Keuchel from Houston and Clayton Kershaw from the Dodgers, recent Cy Young Award winners. The Cy Young Award is given to the best pitcher in each league based on that season. Clayton Kershaw is, you have to consider him the best pitcher in baseball in his generation. He's been in the big leagues for 10 years. He was given, at one point, the largest contract ever given to a pitcher, I believe $30 million a year. And he's come through during the regular season his entire career. He's had 2 or 3 months in a row where he's been virtually unhittable, winning, you know, 10 or 12 games over the course of that stretch for the Dodgers. But he struggled in the playoffs. Notably, a couple years ago, he had some meltdowns against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Against the Mets and the St. Louis Cardinals when the Dodgers were in the playoffs. And he's definitely pitched better in the recent couple of postseason appearances that he's had. I'm thinking about last year when he came out of the bullpen to close out the game with the Washington Nationals in Game 5 of the first round of the playoffs. And then this year he's been pretty consistent during the playoffs. And I think that some analysts believe it's because he doesn't feel the pressure of being the only pitcher who can win games for the Dodgers in the playoffs. This year, he has some support, particularly with Yu Darvish, the Japanese player who came to the Dodgers in the late part of the summer, has pitched incredibly well in the playoffs, and offers some, you know, some mental support for a pitcher like Kershaw. On the other hand, for Houston, you have Dallas Keuchel, who is, you know, he's not the kind of pitcher that blows away the competition, but he has some of the most effective pitches in baseball, especially his curveball, getting a lot of outs on that pitch. And I was reading a story about these teams, and particularly about the philosophy of the Astros over the last few years, using fewer fastballs. The Astros are a team that has really embraced the advanced analytics that have become part of the fabric of baseball over the last few years. And what they discovered was if they could get their pitchers to throw fewer fastballs and more off-speed pitches, that it would complement their fastballs and it would also prevent the other teams from batting as well. You know, a difference of maybe 50 points in batting average on breaking pitches versus straight pitches. So it should be a really strong matchup tonight to start off the World Series.
Dan, you mentioned Dallas Keuchel and Clayton Kershaw, two top pitchers. Who are some of the key position players to watch in this World Series?
You have to look at Jose Altuve, the diminutive second baseman for the Houston Astros. I was looking at a story this morning from Sports Illustrated, and Sports Illustrated happened to make this, at one point, what people thought was this outlandish prediction in the summer of 2014 that the Houston Astros would be the 2017 World Series champions. It was on the cover of the magazine, and a lot of people thought, what are they talking about? This team has lost 90 games one year and 100 games the next year. There's no way they'll be in the World Series 3 years from now, and here we are with the Astros in the World Series. Now, the Astros have picked up some good players. They've done well in the draft, but Altuve was somebody who was already in the system, and he's really blossomed into arguably the best player in the American League, which is impressive for anybody, but even more impressive considering he's 5'5", which means he's not even, 1.8 meters tall for our audience who's on the metric system. And he's really the do-it-all player. He hits home runs. He hits extra base hits. He steals bases. He scored the game-winning run in one of the games against the New York Yankees earlier in the postseason where he scored from first base on a hit to the outfield. I mean, granted, it looked like he was probably going to be out before Gary Sanchez of the Yankees had trouble catching the ball. But it just shows how much confidence the Astros have in Altuve. On the other side, you have to look at players like Cody Bellinger from the Dodgers, who didn't even start the season in the major leagues and wound up hitting 39 home runs during the regular season. He's played first base extremely well. I mean, the list goes on and on when you talk about the depth that these teams have in the outfield and the infield. Even the catchers have been productive. That's why these two teams were two of the best three teams during the regular season in baseball. The Dodgers had the most wins, and the Astros had the third most wins. And a lot of the time, it doesn't actually work out that the two teams, who some would argue had been the best two teams all year long, make it to the World Series.
Dan, one of the baseball writers in the Washington Post, Dave Scheinen, today described the biggest weapon for the Los Angeles Dodgers as being their ace relief pitcher, Kenley Jansen. Your thoughts?
Well, Jansen is a player who, you know, he was a catcher when he started his baseball career and converted to a pitcher. And when he came up with the Dodgers, they just were really experimenting to see how he would do as a pitcher. And when he got to the major leagues, he really blossomed as a one-inning closer. For the people who aren't so familiar with baseball, one of the trends in, let's say, the last 35 years in baseball is that each team usually reserves a pitcher to come into the game when his team is winning with three outs to go and just overpower the other team with the sheer force of his fastballs. And Jansen throws a pitch that is a famous pitch in baseball thanks to another closer who had a ton of success in the postseason, and that's Mariano Rivera from the Yankees. They both throw this pitch that's called a cut fastball, which looks like a pitch that's going to go straight and continue in its direction as it's getting to the plate, and then at the very last second it moves a little bit to the left, and that manages to induce a lot of off-center hits when the players even hit the ball. Jansen himself throws the pitch almost 100 miles an hour, and he's really, really tough to hit. So you got to think that if the Dodgers are in the ninth inning with three outs to go to win the game and Jansen's on the mound, it's really going to be in the Dodgers' favor.
Dan, stick around. I'll chat with you some more about the World Series. But first, my VOA colleague Ray McDonald is ready to do some counting.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Keep counting them down, Ray. We're now counting down the hours to Game 1 of Major League Baseball's World Series, and I'm chatting with Dan Friedel about the championship best of seven series. Dan, statistics, as you well know, very important part of baseball. Let me take a look at a few stats right now. The Astros finished first in the major leagues in runs scored, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage. On the opposite side, the Dodgers ranked first in the National League in earned run average for pitchers. You also mentioned that top closer, Kenley Jansen. Does those statistics, Dan, do they indicate that this could be a very competitive World Series?
Oh, I don't think that there's any doubt that these two teams should provide us with, I'm going to say, six or seven exciting games. I don't think that either one of them is going to blow out the other team and win in four or five games. The thing that's really unique about the Astros is that they have so many strong run-scoring players in their lineup, as evidenced by the statistic that you just offered up. I mean, you have Carlos Correa, who's one of the most exciting offensive-minded shortstops in baseball. You have a pair of catchers in Brian McCann, who had, you know, he is toward the end of his career, but he was an outstanding offensive player with the Atlanta Braves starting his career, moved on to the New York Yankees, and Evan Gattis, who had a unique story when he came up with the Atlanta Braves after being out of baseball for a few years. Those guys both provide a ton of power. They're not as strong defensively as the Dodgers catchers, Austin Barnes and Yasmani Grandal. But it'll definitely show you that, you know, in baseball, the catching position is a defensive premium position. But the fact that these two teams have very productive offensive catchers just shows the depth of each team's lineup. I mean, for example, in the National League Championship Series against the Chicago Cubs, the Dodgers' backup infielder, Enrique Hernandez, managed to hit three home runs in one game. Mm. If you go back to the regular season, Chris Taylor, who's kind of the do-it-all utility player for the Dodgers, managed to be one of the leaders in all of baseball in grand slams for the season. This is a guy who's gone through his career hitting a few home runs here and there each season, and I think he wound up with over 20. You know, you have a reclamation project. You have a guy like Justin Turner playing third base for the Dodgers, who's another player who's produced at a most valuable player level. At one point, he was cast off by the New York Mets as a player who was never going to be quite good enough to hit in the major leagues, and he's blossomed with the Dodgers. It's an interesting series because the top two starting pitchers on each team are very good, and then the Dodgers, I think, have a little bit more depth in their pitching. So it's really going to be incumbent if the Astros are going to win four games, they're really going to have to try to win the four games that Keuchel and Justin Verlander are pitching in the seven-game series. For the Dodgers, there's a possibility that they can hold off the Astros' offense for a few innings, get to the bullpen, knock the starting pitcher out of the game, and win a game in the late innings against the weaker bullpen of the Astros. So it'll be exciting, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of moments late in the game that are the kind of moments that we'll remember for 30 years, like the last time the Dodgers were in the World Series.
Thanks, Dan. And Dan, we hope to talk to you again during this World Series between the Dodgers and the Astros.
I'll be happy to join you, Sonny. Thanks for having me.
Sports reporter Dan Friedel, and just ahead, VOA social media reporter Andrew Palcheski. But first, these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at Kenya's opposition protest and election confusion as the nation prepares for a repeat presidential vote. Citing irregularities, Kenya's Supreme Court nullified the results of the August 8th presidential poll. Understanding Kenya's presidential election on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
VOA. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this World Series Game 1 day?
Well, let's start right there with the World Series. Dan, of course, talking about how it's going to be a very competitive series. It's going to be two very good teams, over 100 wins each. But if you look at the Vegas odds makers, they have the Dodgers as the slight betting favorite. They have the best record in baseball. They have the home field advantage. And they've had a shorter series against the Chicago Cubs than the Houston Astros had against the New York Yankees. So all of that playing into it, but it's very, very close odds. Really, it could be anyone's game, anyone's series going into tonight. But if you ask Sports Illustrated Magazine, they have already decided who is going to win this series, Sonny.
Because, okay.
And not only have they already decided who's going to win the series, they decided 3 years ago. Because back in 2014, the cover of Sports Illustrated Magazine featured a photo of Astros outfielder George Springer, and it declared, back in 2014, the Houston Astros, your 2017 World Series champions.
Wow.
Now, this photo has gone viral all over the internet, people saying it's amazing that they were able to predict this. And it is pretty astounding 3 years out that they were able to call the Houston Astros the 2017 World Series champs. Now, they haven't won it yet, but just the fact that they got to the World Series is pretty amazing that they were able to predict that. Because when they wrote that article and had that on the cover of the magazine in 2014, the Houston Astros were coming off their fourth year finishing in last place in their division. So it's not like predicting a perpetually good team would win. This was a team that was one of the worst in Major League Baseball. But because the Houston Astros were putting a lot of energy into new players and metrics and trying to figure out how to win and new strategies to win, That was the crux of this article, and they said that's why they're going to win the 2017 World Series. So fans wondering if indeed it will happen, if maybe Sports Illustrated had a time machine or something, a lot of questions about that. But they're also wondering if there's a Sports Illustrated curse that could come about because they predicted the Houston Astros would win, that maybe they won't win after all.
Mm. Well, Andrew, sometimes in sports, we hear the phrase sentimental favorite. And one of my Facebook friends mentioned the hurricane that hit Houston, devastated large portions of the city. Would you say the Astros are the sentimental favorite in this World Series?
Absolutely. I think we're seeing a lot of folks talking about Hurricane Harvey and the impact that it had in Houston. We're seeing a lot of people talking about the fact that the Houston Astros have never won a World Series. This is only the second time ever that they've been to the World Series. So I think there are a lot of people rooting for the underdog in that regard. But Los Angeles is the second biggest city in the country, and they have a massive fan base. So I think certainly while Houston might be the sentimental favorite, I think there might be more Los Angeles Dodgers fans out there. But both teams are going to be well represented.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, speaking of folks who are well represented, Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, no argument there that they are well represented in soccer. And this year it is Cristiano Ronaldo who is named FIFA's best male player for the fifth time. He's won it in 2008, 2013, 2014, 2016, and repeating this year in 2017.
A handful of trophies.
A handful of trophies. And this is an award that's bounced around. It was called the FIFA World Player of the Year. It was the FIFA Ballon d'Or for 6 years in a partnership with France Football Magazine. Now it's called the Best FIFA's Men's Player. But Sonny, whatever you call it, Ronaldo and Messi have dominated about 12 years. Either Ronaldo or Messi has won this award. In fact, every year since 2011, the two men have finished in the top two for the award. Quite a rivalry between these two guys. Now, Ronaldo tried to play down this rivalry, telling reporters after he won that award, "I don't compete with Leo. He's a player who's in the same era. He's won five times, and I've won five times too," so putting them on equal footing. But later on, when asked about the rivalry again, he said, "It didn't finish yet. It is just starting." So even though he tried to downplay that rivalry, it sounds like it's still alive and well. And certainly on social media, it's alive and well. A lot of Messi fans feeling that he should have won the award, of course. You're going to root for your favorite player. One fan pointing out that Messi had the most goals, assists, and chances created in 2017, saying that based on those stats, he should have won, but it was a runaway for Ronaldo. Now, Ronaldo is offering his gratitude for winning on social media, and he put up on Twitter, "An amazing feeling to have won this award again. Want to dedicate to my family, my friends, my teammates, and coaches, both from Real Madrid and Portuguese national team, and everyone who supported me." And he put that up with a picture of him kissing that trophy. There was another nice post he put up where it was a photo of his family at the awards event with just a string of heart emojis, so a lot of love there. But speaking of Ronaldo's family, photos from the event of Ronaldo's son, Cristiano Jr., are dividing the internet, Sonny, because one appears to show Cristiano Jr. smiling at Messi after his father wins the award. So some are saying he's taunting Lionel Messi, saying, "Haha, my father won, you didn't." But there's another photo that shows him staring at Messi in awe. And there are reports that Cristiano Jr. is a big Messi fan, which would seem to conflict with this rivalry.
I also saw a photo of Messi shaking hands with Ronaldo's boy. So, I mean, that kind of, and it was a beautiful photo.
Yeah, there's some nice photos that, you know, apparently Cristiano Jr. is a big Messi fan. Apparently his father has encouraged him to be a Messi fan, saying you should support the best that's out there. So as much as they play up this rivalry, I think that seems like they are pretty good friends and good competitors. And at least Cristiano Jr. certainly a friend of Lionel Messi, I would say.
And Messi and Ronaldo did sit pretty close to each other at that FIFA ceremony. So
yeah, the families were nearby. It was some nice moments there. And so I think part of it is the hype. You know, there's always this hype in sports that we talk about where there's these rivalries. We've been talking about the Yankees and the Red Sox in baseball, or whether it's Golden State and Cleveland. This is no different. It's just two individual guys. So I think it kind of gets distilled down a little more where people think there's some animosity, some actual conflict. I think they're just playing it up. I think it's part of the fun. And I think even though they talk about this rivalry just beginning, I think they both recognize that they're two of the greatest ever, and they respect each other for their game.
No question. I agree with you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the October 24th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
At 1600 hours Universal Time on Tuesday, October 3, 2017, the United States will begin accepting applications for the 2019 Diversity Visa Program. Applications will be accepted until 1600 hours Universal Time on Tuesday, November 7, 2017. Through this program, the United States government makes available 50,000 permanent resident visas to citizens of countries that traditionally have a low rate of immigration to the United States. The United States is a nation of immigrants. Throughout our history, immigrants from every corner of the world have contributed to life in the United States. Without this diversity, we would not be the nation that we are today. Historically, though, not all nations and ethnic groups are well represented in our country. The Diversity Visa Program specifically permits entries from countries with a historically lower level of immigration to the United States. This year, citizens from the following countries are not eligible to participate in the program based on their historically higher level of immigration to the United States: Bangladesh, Brazil, Canada, mainland China, Colombia, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Haiti, India, Jamaica, Mexico, Nigeria, Pakistan, Peru, Philippines, South Korea, United Kingdom, except for Northern Ireland, and its dependent territories, and Vietnam. Entries for the Diversity Visa Program are accepted online only, no exceptions. Those who are interested in entering the DV program should go to dvlottery.state.gov and read the instructions, beginning with the qualification requirements. The entry process takes about 15 minutes to complete. All winners are chosen by a random drawing. It is very important that entrants save their unique confirmation number. In May of next year, you can begin checking the status of your entry on the website, but you can only check using your confirmation number. Successful entrants are not notified by email of the status of their EDV online entry. Any email claiming to notify entrants they have been selected for the DV program is not legitimate. Entrants can only access their information on their application through the online entrant status check at dvlottery.state.gov. The law allows only one entry per person during the registration period. Entrants who submit more than one entry will be disqualified. Those selected in the DV program may apply for immigrant visas. Entry into the DV program is free, so please keep in mind that anyone asking for money to better your chances of winning is running a scam. Good luck.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Lino Mudu. Please join me live every Tuesday at 1730 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.